Good morning. I'm glad everyone was able to come out this morning. Last week, we talked about the fall. The title of these messages is Why God Became a Man. Next week, we're really going to dive into that. Because I know different religions argue that God doesn't have a son. He can't have a son. He's one. And we're going to find out why God became a man according to Scripture. We talked about the fall last week in Genesis 3. If you've been to Sunday school very often, you've heard the story of Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit. We talked about what happened when they ate the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And I've been asked a lot of times in 20 years, why did God put that tree there? I really don't know. I'm not God. But the fact is, He put the tree of life there, and they were allowed to eat off that. And if they ate from it, they would live forever. So God set life in there. Then He put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, now if you eat off that, the penalty's death. You're going to die. And here man and woman had a choice between life and death, and they chose death. And we read in the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul said, immediately sin and death came into the world. Then he gave a description of men and women that wasn't very flattering when you read it. We talked about what happened after the fall. God created everything perfect and good. I do not believe in theistic evolution. That's just an attempt of some churches trying to reconcile with evolutionists and say, hey, let's just get along and we'll meet here in the middle. Theistic evolution implies that God created everything, then it evolved. And that's a bunch of nonsense. It said God created it. When He looked at His creation, it was good. And He made the man and woman, and so they were very good. So they fell. That's why this world's in the condition it's in. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. This Sunday, we're going to talk about the promise to a man named Abraham. Next Sunday, as I said, we're going to delve into, who Jesus was, who He still is. He's a lot more than some people think He is. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they really don't believe He is who He claims to be. Okay. So the text this morning is out of Genesis 22, verses 1 through 8, 18. I'll get it in a minute, put my eyeballs on. All right, Genesis 22, 1 through 18. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I think it's a good translation. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, behold, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Father, I thank you for those who have come out this morning to hear your word. Your word is truth, and Jesus, you prayed that we would be made holy by God's word. I pray today, Lord, that you will walk these aisles, that you will lay a hand on each and every heart here, and help us to get a better understanding of what happened, what had to be done for our redemption. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I ask that it be here this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Abraham was an interesting fella. When God called him, he was 75 years old, and he went to the land of Canaan. Said he didn't really know where he was going. God just said, "Hey, get your stuff together and move." So he did, and he promised him when he got into that land, he said, "I'm going to give you a son, you and your wife Sarai." And they were thrilled because they didn't have any children. But it was 25 years before he got that kid. And if you're familiar with the story, Abraham and Sarai devised a plan to help God out. How many of you know God doesn't need our help? He really doesn't. And Sarai said, "Look, the Lord isn't letting me have kids, but I got this Egyptian slave girl here, and you go into her and we'll have a kid through her." Well, Abraham thought that sounded like a plan, so he took her as his wife and had Ishmael. And we're still paying for that today. There is still a rivalry between Ishmael's descendants and the descendants of Abraham, the Jews. It's still going on. It's been going on since then, and it'll continue to go on until the Lord comes back. So God forgave Abraham for that, you know. He let that slide. When you really read about Abraham, you know, it's kind of surprising God picked him. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and Joshua told the children of Israel they worshipped idols. He said, "Our fathers," including Abraham, "worshipped idols." People back then, they didn't know what God looked like, just like today we don't. Some people think they've seen him, but, you know, we don't know what he looks like. And later on in the law of Moses, God told Israelites, don't make anything that looks like animal or men and worship it. And that's what Abraham's family did. They all had their concept of who God was. They knew about him. It's figured by genealogy that Abraham would have been about 29 when Noah died. Could you imagine if he got to sit and listen to great-great-great-great-granddad Noah talk about the flood? You know, maybe Noah bounced him on his knee. I don't know. But it said God called him out of there, and he said, "I want you to go to a land I'm going to show you, and you can't have it yet. But I'm going to give it to your kids." Well, now today we come in where Abraham and Sarah have had this kid. Abraham was 100 when he's born. Sarah was 90. And God, we don't know how old Isaac is here. Some speculate he might have been about 13 years old. But God one day said, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to take that kid that you love And I want you to go to a mountain that I tell you to and offer him as a burnt offering. Now, God had never requested that from anyone before. And it said Abraham went. I've often struggled with that, thinking about that. Would I do it? I would find a lot of reasons not to. You know, we do that sometimes. God will ask us to do things that make no sense to us, and we'll try to talk ourselves out of it. Well, that wasn't God. Abraham might have felt justified if he said, wait a minute, I don't think that's God. God wouldn't ask me for a burnt offering of my son. But the Bible doesn't say that he did that. Now, some call that blind faith. I don't. God had been blessing him and his wife for 25 years. You know, and he comes up and says, take that boy out there and sacrifice him. Abraham does. Takes him out there. And I want to emphasize on the passage out of this, on verses 18, 15 through 18. You can turn there if you have your Bibles. We're going to look at a couple few passages. Verse 15 in Genesis 22. The angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. That's good. Possess the gate of their enemies. That means you're going to own the land right up to their gate. That's good. You know, especially in this culture, that was a good thing. So he's promising him this good thing. Why? Because he said, you obeyed me. He said, you didn't even withhold your only son from me. What's important to notice here, God said, I swear by myself that I'm going to do this. Now listen to the rest of this promise. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. In your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The Jews, for many years, and this isn't a put-down, just saying they didn't quite understand this passage. Jesus had that problem with his own men. It said after he was raised from the dead, he rebuked them because they didn't believe the Scriptures. He said, how is it you don't understand from the Scriptures that I had to go through this? But he told Abraham, he said, I swear by myself that in your offspring all the nations will be blessed. Well, for years the Jews thought it was them. You know, we're the offspring of Abraham. And they thought what was going to happen was Messiah was going to come, set up an earthly kingdom, and everybody was going to convert to Judaism and worship their God, you know. And they had that promise in there. God swore this by himself. I want you to listen, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Get a little insight into this. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. So, the writer of Hebrews is saying to the New Testament church, boy, what a hope we have. What an assurance of hope, because God swore by himself. He said, we know by two immutable things or unchangeable things, God doesn't lie and God doesn't change. See, man's in a mess. After the fall, in Genesis 6, I believe it is, it's recorded, men began to call on the Lord. That means to call upon God. Men began to try to figure out ways to get back to God. They wanted to get back to that relationship that Adam and Eve had with him. But there was a problem. Nobody could do it. Nobody. I read last week where in the book of Romans, Paul's quoting one of the prophets, and God's observation of man. This isn't a preacher's, it's his. He said no one's good, no one's righteous, no one seeks after God. He said they've become self-seekers. He said the poison of snakes is in their mouth. They use their mouth to curse and speak bitterness. And God said they're not trying to find me. Well, that presents a problem. God wanted to redeem men to himself. Now, all the way back in the garden, you remember, he told the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between the offspring of the woman and your offspring. I listened to some, well, I better not say that. Anyway, God all the way in Eden, he had a plan. He said, I've got a plan worked out. There's going to be a man come from the woman. And he said, devil, he's going to crush your head. Don't you know that Satan was looking at a lot of cradles in those days? Is that the guy? Is that the guy? And we read last week that the Bible says sin and death came into the world through a man, through Adam. And everybody dies because everybody sins. He said death came even to people that didn't sin the way Adam did. How did Adam sin? He transgressed. Remember, we talked about that. There was a law in effect. God said, do not eat off that tree or you will die. And we know the serpent said, well, you're not going to die. God's holding back on you. He doesn't want you to know what he knows. Well, that made Mama Eve say, hey, you know, I'd like to know what God knows. She took a bite, gave some to Adam, and he took a bite. First thing they knew, they were naked. And they were ashamed. They hadn't been ashamed till then. Paul was saying at that moment, sin and death came into the world. Creation changed. Remember when God talked to Adam, he said, I'm going to curse the ground because you've done this, and you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow to eat, and it'll bear thorns and thistles. I don't think there was a bramble bush on the planet until this happened. And from Adam up to this time, men and women were trying to get to God. And I still hear that in people today. You know, well, I believe in God, and I've read the Bible, and I believe I'll just try to be a good person, and you know, if I don't hurt people and I'm basically good, then God's going to take me into heaven. Well, there's a problem with that. When you read the Old Testament, God says nobody's good. I've never heard anybody argue that point with God, but that's what they'll say. Or, well, I'll come to church when I get some of my problems ironed out. Man, bring them with you. Everybody in church got problems. We do. Yeah, we're sinners. You know what the difference between me and an unconverted sinner is? I've been forgiven. You haven't. Yeah. I still struggle. I mean, there's a thing goes on in my life where I want to be in control. That's an illusion, guys. We can't be in control. We think we can, but we can't. And here, God said when he kicked them out of Eden, he says, now they've become like one of us. They know good and evil. Well, what's the problem? They always choose evil. Well, that's because man has a propensity to sin. No, it's because we have a propensity to please ourselves. Number one, we're numero uno. Problem is, you think you're number one. And when two of us get together and we both think we're number one, we're going to clash. And it says in the prophet Isaiah, God said, I looked over the whole earth and could not find anyone who could intercede between me and man. And I'm so happy he didn't say, well, that was an idea, but it didn't work. He said, so my own power worked out salvation. He told Mama Eve, there's going to be a man come out of you, come out of the woman. Why? Well, because man brought all this trouble on the earth, man had to be the one to fix it. But it couldn't be any of us. I remember in Bible college, one of the professors said, you know, why was Jesus born of a virgin? Well, he said, because quite frankly, if he'd have been born of a human man, he'd have had the nature of sin, and he couldn't have been a sacrifice. So I said, wait a minute, Professor. Are you telling me women don't have that same nature? Well, yeah, but it's passed on by the man. Oh, okay. That's my theological rebuttal. Silliest thing I ever heard in my life. God said, Abraham, through your offspring, all the nations will be blessed. See, the Jews missed that part. All the nations. And I just read to you from Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul said, God swore by himself for us, for you. God wants you so to understand and to be able to get a hold of the fact that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place so he could forgive you for what you've done against him, and he can bring you back to him, and you can become a son or a daughter of God. Isn't that cool? Yeah, and that's the justice of God. People tell me, God's so unjust, there's so much evil in the world, and I like to ask them, where'd you get your concept of evil? Or right or wrong? Well, my daddy taught me right or wrong, how to switch that long. And boy, he used to just bless me all the time, teach me right or wrong. I'll tell you where he got it. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. We call it conscience. It's that John Wesley called a divine spark within us. You know, oh yeah, you notice how children will start lying at such an early age. And well, yeah, man, they don't want to get busted. You ever look at one of your kids when you know they're lying and they realize that you know they're lying? And all of a sudden, I got to abandon this story and find something that works. And how you know they're lying? Because they'll stand there and go, no, I didn't do that. No, I wasn't any part of that. They can't look at you. I remember my youngest boy got kicked off school bus. Principal called, so he got kicked off the bus. You're going to have to come in and talk to me. I said, all right. Went home and I said, son, why'd you get kicked off the bus? Well, see, Johnny was doing this, and that's where he started. He went through like five different people. I said, stop a minute. Why do I care what these five were doing? He said, well, Dad, you got to know what they were doing in order to understand what I did, why I did what I did. I said, I'm not their dad. I'm your dad. So I said, let's drop the bull, and you just tell me what you did. Well, he did, and he got in trouble. I had to go to the principal and talk to him, get him back on the bus. But that's how we all are. You remember what happened last week? God said, Adam, who told you you was naked? Did you eat off that tree? The woman you gave me. It's not my fault, God. The woman you gave me. I stand here minding my own business. And she said, here, sweetheart, take a bite of this. And wow. No. The man thing for Adam to done should have been, yes, sir, I did. I ate the apple or the fruit, whatever it was. So God is working now in man's history to get back in with us, to get us back in with him. And Paul said in the scriptures, God didn't say to Abraham, and to seeds as many, your offsprings, he said one offspring. So God said, Abraham, there's going to be a child come from your bloodline, a man. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of him. And he said, I promise that. I swear by myself, that's what I'm going to do. Wow. Yeah. You ever doubt salvation? And is God there? Is he real? I do it. I've been a Christian 34 years. And I'll still catch myself saying, God, are you there? Did I really get saved back in 1984? Did you really call me to preach? I could think of a lot better people to preach a word to me. I don't know, I do feel that way. I can't believe you'd use somebody like me. You ever hear somebody go, well, if I was God, I'm glad you're not. Because I wouldn't be standing here preaching, you know. I wouldn't. But every time I read this, it really moves me that God so wanted us to believe in his plan that he said, I swear by myself, Abraham. What a God. Yeah, what a God. He said, men and women, I want to save you from sin. Well, I'm a pretty good person. You ever lied? Well, yeah, then you're a liar. By the law. He gave the law to Moses 450 years later. You shall not lie. You shall not cheat. You won't steal. You shall not murder. You know, there's a lot of don'ts. 10 don'ts. Well, there's one or two do's in there with the don'ts, but a lot of don'ts. And people today, sometimes they still think, well, if I can do most of the do's and not do the don'ts, then I'll go to heaven. And you can't, because the Bible said if you break one of the do's, then you don't get to go to heaven because you broke the whole law. That's how it works. And God is talking to a man before the law. A guy that's obeying him and listening to him, doing what God tells him to do. He's not perfect, you know. He tries to save his skin a few times. And he's not honest. Well, he is, but he had a very beautiful wife and said he'd tell the king, she's my sister. And the king would take her to be his wife. And then God would just... One king, he talked to him in a dream. He said, you're a dead man. How'd you like God to wake you up and say, hey, I just want to tell you, you're a dead man. What'd I do? He said, that woman is a prophet's wife. He said, Lord, now she told me she was his sister, and I took her on good faith, and God said, yeah, you did. And he said, I'm the one that kept you from getting in trouble. Speaking of which, I'm about to kick points that over again. But you see the character of Abraham at times, and God put up with it. He's most famous for God took him outside and showed him the stars and said, that's how many descendants you'll have. And it said Abraham believed God, and he counted that to him as righteousness. And if you're a child of God, the Apostle Paul said in the Scripture, that makes you one of Abraham's offsprings. Because that's how God ordained that. He said, you can't get to me by good works. You're not good enough. None of you are. You can't earn my forgiveness. But he said, I'll tell you what. Just the way Abraham believed me and it was counted to him as righteousness, I'm sending a man. And you need to believe what he says. And I will count that to you as righteousness. Praise God. Not works. He didn't say you got to join a church and go through this and that, you know, and maybe someday you'll get to go to heaven, maybe, you know, if God's in a good mood. It's not what he said. Oh, God, I'm a filthy, worthless sinner. I know that. But I love you. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, the good news. God says, I love you. So much that I'm sending someone to correct what my other son did. Do you know the Bible calls Adam the son of God? I had a lady at one church got so mad at me about that, I thought she's going to stone me. He's not the son of God. I said, read the genealogy of Luke. The other ones go back to Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam, who was the son of God. You see, God wasn't lying when he said in the Scriptures that Adam was a figure of him, a prototype of the one who was going to come. Next week, we're going to get into that, why God became a man. And there's plenty of Scriptures that prove that Jesus is God in the flesh. Don't let anybody shake you up on that. Let me read another passage to you, Galatians. I'm getting ready to wind down, so don't freak out. I'm getting ready to close. I shouldn't say that. Preachers are the biggest liars when it comes to that. And I'm getting ready to close, and then an hour later you're going, man, when are you going to close? Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say offsprings referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. Well, we get brought into this relationship, and Paul said we become heirs. Heirs of what? I want to know that. You know, what am I in heir of? What was the promise made to Abraham? There's going to be a guy come out of your bloodline that's going to bless all the nations of the earth. See, God wasn't inclusive. He didn't exclude anyone. All of the earth. The covenant he had through the law with Moses was to Israel, the Hebrews. This covenant that you and I are in is to all the earth. God offers salvation to everyone. He is not willing that anyone should perish. Well, what am I an heir of? If you look up in verse 14, it says, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Which Spirit? The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. The Bible says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't call Jesus Lord. You can, but you're not being honest. No man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See, when God saves you, He places His Spirit in you. And some people begin to act weird and flop around on the floor and that. But what it does, He said, is that it marks us as His children. Do you know demons can look at you, Christian, and tell that you're a child of God? They see into the Spirit. Well, I don't know. I never met anybody demon-possessed. Well, just wait. I think it's getting more prevalent in this country. But see, angels can look at you and say, that's one of God's children. They got the mark. They got the Holy Spirit. God said in the new covenant I make, no longer will a man say, know the Lord, because they'll all know me. You mean every man and woman that's ever born is going to know God? No, the ones that come to Him through Jesus Christ. He said, they'll know me. I will live in them. I will be their God. They will be my people. That's the relationship Adam and Eve had. Theologians call that original righteousness. God's goal is to restore us to original righteousness, back to that fellowship. And don't run around naked and tell everybody, the preacher said, you know, I'm supposed to be like Adam and Eve, because that's not what I'm saying. God desires a fellowship with you and I. And when I was a baby Christian, if you said, who's your worst enemy? I'd have said, oh, the devil. Oh, that old devil. Woo, you got to watch the devil. After a couple years, I said, it's Rick. I got to watch me, because I give the devil all the ammunition he needs. You see, none of us on our own can defeat that. Yeah. He'll walk on you like a cheap rug. And you personally, the only thing you can do is receive Jesus Christ, what He did for you. And that'll get Him off your back for a little while. But He ain't going to be able to touch your soul. Yeah. Devil can kill my body, but he can't touch my spirit. How do I know that? Because God promised me that. He said, I swear by myself. Praise God. What a God. I got a hold of that promise one day. Old Baptist redneck preacher come to my house. I was a drug dealer. He asked me before if he could talk to me about Jesus. I said, no, I don't want to hear it. He came to the house one day and said, man, you've been on my mind. I've been praying about you. I want to tell you about Jesus because He loves you. And that hit me between the eyes, you know. He said, I love you too. I thought, oh. Yeah. You know what? A few days later, I gave my heart to Christ, and I found out that redneck preacher wasn't lying to me. He did love me. Yeah. He pulled me out of there. And I still struggle, just like everybody else. I still have temptations. I have problems. I have things that just about drive me crazy. But I'm not alone. Yeah. God sent somebody that took care of it. It was a man that screwed this world up. It was a man that set it right. And He's letting it go on right now the way it is. He's given the devil just enough rope to hang himself. But He's coming back someday. Yes. And I hope when He comes, you're going to be able to, the Bible says, go out unashamed and meet Him. I'm a blood-bought child of God. Yeah, I'm forgiven. Yeah, he didn't leave me where he found me. Praise his name. I just love this passage. When I got a hold of this 30 years ago, it just, wow. God said, there's nobody else, Abraham, I can swear by but myself. Well, I said I was going to close, so I don't want to lie to you. Why don't you stand with me? Please come next week if you can. We're going to delve into some of the scriptures of, is Jesus God in human form? If you're here this morning and maybe you've been struggling and or saying, I'm trying to live a good life, do the best I can, I invite you to abandon that and just come to God honestly and say, here I am. You know, man, I don't have anything to offer. All I had to offer him was a broken life, but he said, I'll take it. And he fixed it. I've been helped. Some of you are looking at me and say, boy, I hope the Lord gets a hold of him. I've already been helped. Yeah. If you would like to talk about coming to Christ, talk more about it, just come and let me know after the service. I'll be glad to stay here and talk with you. If you want to come forward and sit up here on the front row, do that. I'll sit down and visit with you. Whatever it is you feel you need to do, I ask that you would do it in a song of invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Well, Lord bless you. I hope you have a great week. Any prayer requests you want to bring to the body before we close? Okay. Don, would you offer the closing prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we praise you today. We praise you with love and admiration and give our hearts to you. We ask that you would be with those that are sick, that are recuperating, that you would continue to supply your healing power. And we give the glory to you. We just ask that you would be with each family during this Christmas season, that you would help us to keep you in the forethoughts of our minds. We thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.